This is a Real Footy Podcast Trade Period Special. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of our daily trade period podcast series. My name is Sam McClure and I'm with the one and only Pete Ryan. Pete, hello to you.
Good afternoon, Sam.
We've finally had some movement today. And of course, it's all come in a flurry. When it rains, it pours. What's most taken your fancy or what has most interested you about the trades? Has it been what the Saints have done, getting the Port boys? GWS finally got a deal done with Hawthorn for Jono Patton. The Demons sort of pulled a surprise pick swap with North Melbourne. Darcy Cameron has gone from Sydney to Collingwood. There's a fair bit to talk about.
Yeah, well, from a probably a significance factor, Paddy Ryder and Dougal Howard making their way to the Saints for picks 12 and 18. So,
and a future pick swap. So essentially Port get a future third and swap that with the Saints' future fourth. So they sweeten the deal.
Yeah, so Port Adelaide handed over pick 10 and Paddy Ryder and Dougal Howard and got 12 and 18 and a couple of late picks sort of swapped hands.
Feels like the Saints have got the better end of that deal on paper, but as we...
I reckon Port's done pretty good, pretty well on that. Paddy Ryder wouldn't have got much more than a fourth round pick, as we'll see later, and Dougal Howard's a promising player, but not enough exposed form to say he's a superstar, and they get a couple of extra picks in side pick 20, and St Kilda will need to move that pick on to get Brad Hill. The other things that are interesting is the Demons going for these two top 10 picks and making a trade with North Melbourne, who now sit out of the draft until pick 26 for this year, but they're banking on having a future first-round pick from Melbourne next year, which is an interesting way for Reece Shaw to start his coaching career.
So the Demons get pick 8 from North in exchange for 26, 50 and a future first.
Yeah.
So North are banking on Melbourne to have an average year.
Yep.
And Melbourne get two top 10 picks.
Well, they've now got pick 3 and pick 8.
Three and eight.
So they have to, look, to make this work, Melbourne have to perform well next year, bounce back.
Which they are confident of doing, it must be said.
Correct. And they have to nail those picks 3 and 8. I mean, their record with top 10 picks is okay. I mean, they've got Christian Salem, Sam Wiedemann.
Petrarca,
Brayshaw, who finished third in a Brownlow but had an ordinary year this year. So they're okay picks, but they really need to find, and Clayton Oliver, it must be said, who's a fantastic player. It'd be great if they could get a player of similar quality. Through that 3 and 8. So it's a risk, but it's probably not a bad risk for the Demons to take.
So in other moves that went down today, Sam Jacobs joins GWS on a 2-year deal for a future fourth rounder. Hugh Greenwood's gone from the Crows to the Gold Coast Suns for a future third and a future fourth. And Adelaide have traded Port Adelaide ruckman Billy Frampton. It's only played a handful of games in exchange for a future fourth round pick. But Pete, and as we've talked about in the paper for tomorrow, the deals that haven't been done are still the big ones. Brad Hill, I think a lot of us thought once the Port deal was done, they'd move quickly on securing Hill. It hasn't yet. And then Danaher and Papley remain in limbo.
Yeah, well, the Brad Hill to St Kilda, we thought that pick 10 had formed the basis and they'd managed to get another future pick from St Kilda to make that happen. But it appears that Blake Hakers, who is a utility from St Kilda, has gone to Fremantle. He's a West Australian boy, it must be said. Has gone to Fremantle to do a medical.
And Dan Cherney breaking that story in The Age.
Correct. Dan Cherney doing a great job with that. And so that appears that if Hakers passes that medical, and because he's got 1 year left on his contract, needs to agree to go to Fremantle, that might also be included as part of the Brad Hill deal. So Fremantle would get Acres, pick 10, and potentially a future second-round pick.
That seems to me, if that is the deal, a pretty good one for the Dockers.
Not a bad one for the Dockers, but they might regret still. They'll have to move on from this, but the fact they had pick 6 and a future third round in their hand. But look, Acres is a good player, so if they can get him in, he adds some
depth
definitely to the midfield, and quality depth. He's better than an average player.
What about Jack Stephen? So the talk has been that the Cats will get pick 58 from Gold Coast for Zach Smith.
Yep.
And that will form the pick that they will hand on to the Saints for Jack Stephen.
That's right.
It's the news that no Saints fan, I don't reckon, Pete, wanted to hear at the start of the trade period, that it would be a pick in the 50s exchange for a four-time best and fairest who's yet to turn 30.
Yeah, that's correct. But I think there's a lot of, risk attached to Jack Stephen, given that this year he wasn't really able to get out on the park for more than about four or five games and obviously had his mental health battles. It's good that he's going back to Geelong, but Geelong are aware that he's not a certainty to recapture that form that he showed as a four-time Best and Fairest winner. So they're saying, look, we're happy to take Jack Stephen, but he comes with a fair bit of risk attached to him. So pick 58 is a reasonable pick, and they don't want to get rid of 37. It's simple as that, because they're looking to package some picks up to go higher up into the draft order. But you're right, St Kilda would have been hoping to get a bit more and help them make these other deals, but it's just not reality.
Do we expect Zach Jones to get done as well as Dan Butler?
Well, this is an interesting one, because Sydney want a pick in the 20s for Zach Jones.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints were hoping to get a pick in the 20s for
Josh Bruce. Yep.
The Western Bulldogs are holding firm on their offer of pick 32, so it might come down to the fact that Sydney might have to accept pick 32, or St Kilda convince Sydney that they need to accept pick 32 for Zach Jones, because they may not have much more to offer for him.
Who wins that if 32 changes hands and it ends up seeing Josh Bruce leave the Saints, but they get in Zach Jones?
Yep.
Who wins ultimately out of that? The Swans, the Dogs, or the Saints?
I don't think the Swans do. Although
no, agreed.
Zach Jones is about 25.
Yep.
Yeah. But he's on uncontracted and leaving the club, so they haven't got a lot of, I suppose, pull in that area. Josh Bruce is perfect for the Bulldogs as a key forward who contests, and Zach Jones is exactly what St Kilda needs. So I don't think... I think that it's about right, with Sydney slightly losing, but they've got other worries, Sydney, in the final day.
Yeah, well, let's discuss that, and Michael Gleeson's taken a look at that in the paper. How do you see this playing out, Pete? The general sense in the industry seems to be that Papley will get to Carlton,
yep,
but that Danaher is no guarantee.
Well, that's a general sense. There's also a sense that if that Sydney's reluctance to trade Papley out for what we assume would be at least pick 9,
mm-hmm,
from Carlton is related to the fact that they want to be fairly certain that they're going to get Joe Danaher in if they do accept that pick 9 for Papley.
Which is funny in a sense, because they're not like-for-like players. Granted, they are both forwards.
Correct.
It's not as though one's replacing the other, but I can understand that the theory.
Yeah, well, they just want a quality kind of, I suppose, quality for quality, but they also don't probably want to be left with picks 5 and 9, two picks inside the top 10, and no real need potentially for that pick 9.
Yeah, so they want and a lack of forwards.
And a lack of forwards. So they want to use that for Danaher. But Essendon are just sitting back and being reasonably slow to move.
What would be your, without asking you a question without notice, what's your gut tell you with Danaher and what the deal might look like?
If Sydney get 5 and 9, that Essendon will reluctantly accept 5 and 9 and then see what they can do either at the trade or next year, or at the draft. So they might move late on a tall forward like Mason Cox been mentioned. Josh Jenkins is still out there. Or they might go to the draft with 5 and 9 and get mobilised to get a Jeremy Cameron or someone like that in the door if they think they can manage that.
Would Sydney want something back, or is it going to be 5 and 9 for Danaher? Two top 10 picks for a guy who's played 11 games in 2 years.
It's absolutely
it's extraordinary.
It's over the odds. But you've got to remember, Danaher's one of the biggest names in the game. And... He's contracted and they've come after him. So they mightn't have expected this, and quite reasonably, I think 5 and 25 would have been a reasonable offer. But they've also got a commitment to Joe Danaher to try and get the deal done. And if they offer 5-9, at least they can look Joe Danaher in the eye and say, we put everything we could on the table to get you if it doesn't actually succeed. Whereas if 5 and 25's left there and they don't budge...
It could be criticised.
Yeah, and it's hard to convince Joe then as a free agent at the end of next year to come in the door if he feels a bit jilted.
I want to ask you, get to a listener question from Stephen. Just before I do, the Jono Patton deal, Pete, were you surprised that it was a future fourth rounder? The Giants made a few sounds early that they weren't going to let him go cheaply like they did with Tom Scully.
Yeah.
Feels like they've folded a little bit.
But they probably didn't have a lot of negotiating power, because they want Hawthorn to take, I think it's 2 years left on his deal. Is that right, Sam?
I think he only had one, but he was on big money. Hawks were willing to give him three.
Three, and therefore they take that final year from the Giants. So whatever that money is.
It was 700, it goes to zero.
700 goes to zero. And therefore, once that's out the door, they got that future fourth-round pick. They were able to use that, which became a really valuable pick, on Sam Jacobs. And then Adelaide were able to use that.
Which makes it look better.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Adelaide were able to use that on Billy Frampton from Port Adelaide. So, yeah, look, it's not fair, but supporters have to take into account this, that their money is the critical determinant on that trade pick that's used in that deal.
And this is what happens when you back-end deals.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine that the clubs back themselves to get out of it, but you're often left with less whip
hand. And let's face it, Jonathan Patton's had 3 knee reconstructions.
True. There's
he's
absolutely
a big
no
boy,
yep.
So there's no guarantee that he's going to be, you know, a great player.
No. In fact, his injury history is more ominous than Joe Danaher's.
Correct.
It would be fair to say. Okay, listen to a question from Stephen Pete. What is the update on Geelong? Well, good man to ask. Are they looking at a late big play with the Kelly picks, or will they go to the draft? It's a good question. Thanks, Stephen.
It is a good question. I think they've thought about whether they could use one of those picks.
Or maybe a Brad Crouch.
Yeah, maybe a Brad Crouch type was some of their thinking. But I think what their main objective now is to use those picks to actually work their way higher up the draft order and get a pick inside top 10. That'd be their objective from here. I heard that they were having discussions with Melbourne around that pick 3, which obviously didn't eventuate over the weekend for their using their pick 14 and 17. So they're keen to get inside the top 10 and take probably 4 picks into the draft inside pick 37,
yep.
Which is not a bad hand as they try and kind of build another renewed era or build another foundation.
Okay, how does the final day look for you, Pete? You've been doing this for a while now. Is it going to be hectic at about 7:15 on the Wednesday night?
It's going to be very hectic. It's closed at 7:30. I've been saying to a few managers they better get to the hairdresser and rush in looking all panicked and, you know, try and get their noggin on television, which is now covered. So it's got madder and madder, but, you know, I think there's a bit of circus attached to it. But a lot of these deals will happen late, and I'm sure there'll be a couple of surprise players that we haven't. I remember last year Jackson Thurlow, no one had even spoken about, and all of a sudden he was at Sydney. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It's going to be a really interesting day tomorrow, even though it's been a slow trade period.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate your time. Look forward to reading your stuff online.
Thanks, Sam.
That's all we have time for today. Don't forget, you can head to theage.com.au/AFL for all the latest news and analysis. You can join us on our live blog as well from 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. We'll be keeping you up to date with all the latest trade news, of course, as it happens. We'll be back tomorrow night with a final edition trade period podcast special. So make sure you tune in. As always, thanks for listening.